It's payback time. British families have earned a break, and the home gym exercise bike can fund it. The one that burnt more calories building it than riding it. With a pro mode that almost gave Mum a hernia.
Crikey!
So sell it on eBay and buy walking boots instead to gently stride into the countryside. No Lycra necessary. Life comes together when you buy, sell, eBay.
This is a Global Original podcast.
Steve Allen's Little Bit Extra.
Morning, everybody. Welcome along to your free podcast for today, Thursday, the 15th of October. And it's blooming freezing out there today. Absolutely freezing. But it doesn't matter because we have stories to gladden your heart. Yes, stories of misery, stories of petulant celebrities, stories of talentless old has-beens. You know, and talking of Gemma Collins, I happened to watch a little bit of the Diva programme last night. Oh, God, talk about talentless. She was attempting to sing something from Greece. Not only did she not know the words, she didn't know anything. And if she ever became Sandy, you might as well just give up now, because it ain't going to be happening. Meanwhile, over in the Dominic West camp, fans noting that he wore the same outfits whilst canoodling with Lily James in Rome and then defending his marriage in the UK. Well, you know, it's a white shirt and a pair of trousers. How do you know it's the same white shirt? You know, loads of people wear white shirts. Piers Morgan wears a white shirt every day. You don't think it's the same white shirt, do you? Of course it's not. What does it matter? Love Island's Jack Fincham, the one who had a little problem with the old Colombian, spoke about his ex Danny Dyer. Poor old Jack. Whatever happened to that career? Back to selling pencils, Jack, eh? He's very happy for her and thinks it's crazy that they both become parents at the same time, 10 months after welcoming his daughter. What a talent you are, Jack. What a talent. Back to the pencils. Nicola Pelt showcases her figure as she poses in a pale pink bra whilst promoting Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so she's so grateful to all of the manufacturers for supplying her sort of bra and knickers, which is lovely. It's so good, isn't it, really? So well done to her. And Brooklyn Beckham liked it. Well, of course he would, wouldn't he? Brooklyn, not so bright Beckham. Meghan Markle wore a sustainable $328 dress by African-American female designer who focuses on health of people and planet with $195 recycled brass earrings. I mean, to be honest with you, it's hilarious. Average actress starts preaching to the world. Hilarious. As most of the columnists have been saying, she has no qualifications for doing this at all. She's accused of ripping off the Netflix documentary The Social Dilemma. As viewers point out, her comparing social media users to drug addicts was almost identical to a quote in the movie. Well, you don't think Meghan Markle's got the intelligence to come up with this by herself. She reads other people's words. She's an actress, sort of. And that's it. She's just copied it. And then stood out there. Of course, you know, meanwhile, she does a 15-minute speech. God, must have seemed like an eternity for the poor souls out to sit there, having paid like $1,500 to listen to it. Why would you bother? Could have picked anybody else from Suits, the dog or something, or the pussycat, or sort of somebody who crossed the road at the red traffic lights. Always an interesting preconception. Kate Middleton went to Imperial College London to learn about work being done to prevent miscarriages and stillbirths. And she was hearing about Tommy's work. I mean, during lockdown, she was living in Anmer Hall. It's a huge barn of a place with loads of servants. But now they're back at Kensington Palace. So they don't really have to worry about this social distancing because there's so much room in these places. I mean, you could walk around for a week in Anmer Hall, wouldn't see anybody at all. And they've got grounds and stuff like that. But whilst they're living in London, who looks after Anmer Hall? Nobody. Nobody. I mean, it's not a lock-up place. As far as we know, it's not a lock-up place. BBC One, strangely, making a drama on the paedophile Jimmy Savile. That's the company that employed him, by the way. I thought I'd point that out to you. Telling the story of his rise to fame by the BBC, and the sexual abuse scandal after his death on the BBC. You know, the man who, I think, only ever worked on the BBC. The executive producer says, "We must understand why a man like Jimmy Savile seemed to remain immune for so long to proper scrutiny and investigation." That's the BBC for you. That's the BBC for you. Won't be the first time, certainly won't be the last time either, where somebody sort of slipped down there. Well, we had no idea. No, everybody knew about Jimmy Savile. And if somebody didn't at the BBC, it only goes to show how lax they are and how naive. Everybody knew about Jimmy Savile. It's like people, you know, in the business going, "Did you have the faintest idea that Philip Schofield was gay?" 90% are going to be saying, "No, we knew he was gay. We just couldn't understand why. And he said in his book, because he's promoting a book, and that's why he's all over the papers. But he doesn't tell you in the book whether he's had boyfriends or whether he's got a current boyfriend or whether there was somebody that he was fairly close to it this morning or anything. We don't know anything about it. It's all just a load of old baloney to promote a book by an old man who gets married. Loads of people do it, has children, and then comes out as gay. It happens with women, happens with men, happens with, you know, the children of straight parents. Happens to all sorts of people. But they don't all get to write a book about it, because apparently it was just awful. And yet, on the day that he came out on television, there just happened to be some journalist watching the programme going out. Isn't that remarkable? And they ran it as an exclusive. Oh, but what's Pip Schofield's type? Come on! You know, old men, young men, twinks, bodybuilders. You know, what is he after? DJs? You know, there's all sorts of different types. You know, you need to look at the Village People to realise there were five types. Which one does he go for, eh? I reckon he went for the sailor. Could be one of those people, couldn't it? So what is his type? They don't tell you things like that. Who's interested? Who gives a stuff? Who gives a stuff? Philip Schofield, at the age of 93, you know, decides to come out as gay. Yeah? Well, you know, he must still be bloody miserable because there's been no boyfriend on the horizon. And we're all waiting for that first picture, aren't we? Of Pip with his arms around a twink or something like that, or somebody old enough to be his grandfather, going, this is the person I'm going to spend the rest of... Because I just don't believe he doesn't have anybody. I'm sorry, I'm far too naive. Sorry, I'm not even naive about it. I'm so cynical. Of course he's got somebody. You don't just go, oh, I think I'm gay. Well, come on, how many people have you been with? Well, I went with, you know, one or two when I was younger. Everybody does that. That's called growing up. And then you sort of get married or you don't get married, or you go gay or you go straight or you go bisexual or you go trans or you go whatever it is. You don't just go, oh, I've tried it a couple of times. And then, you know, 35 years later, oh, I'm gay. Well, something must have happened in the intermediate period. Of course it is. Tom Parker. You know Tom because he's from the group, which we were talking about, actually, only the other day. And I don't know whether The Wanted could get back together again. He's been diagnosed with this terminal brain tumour. He was told by himself because his wife wasn't allowed in. He's got grade 4 glioblastoma. He's going radiotherapy and chemotherapy. But they've said that, like, I mean, it's, you know, when they say to you, you've got this thing, it's stage 4 and this is terminal. Now, those words... To any of you listening, it doesn't matter whether it's, it doesn't matter what the illness is, whether it's cancer or leukemia or something. The moment somebody says, oh, by the way, it's terminal, that means that it's spreading faster than they can keep up with it. It's like cancer. If somebody says, listen, you have, you know, latter stages of cancer and it's terminal, that generally means you've got, you know, a short time to get everything together. And if you're facing that by yourself, it's absolutely awful. I told you, when my mother was told she was terminal, secondary cancer, she said to me, she said, I knew. She said, I knew I had it back. She said, I could tell. People feel it. People feel it. It's like, you know, diabetic. You feel in your stomach if you're well or if you're not very well. And so they've said here, life expectancy, but I mean, let's hope you can throw it out the window, this one, ranges from 3 months to 18 months after diagnosis. I mean, it's a dreadful prospect for, you know, a young man who's 32, but for anybody, there are quite a few people that get this. So it's, I mean, what happens, I don't know. I really don't know. It's not crossed our family. He's having to do breathing exercises. It'll be a couple of children, which he will have. And so everybody is sending him sort of warm messages, which you have to. What else can you do? We're not medically qualified to say this is what we think you should do. He said, I'm prepared to go abroad if it can stop it. Of course it is, because you suddenly realise that life is worth living. You can have lots of upsets in your life. Lots of upsets where you sort of think, wow, I didn't see that coming. And you just have to, if you allow it to get you down, then you descend into the abyss and you've got to crawl yourself back out again. But you have to try and put things behind you. So if you have an upset in your life, if something happens like a relationship breaks up or, you know, your job gets lost or you get made redundant or this doesn't happen or you get your property repossessed, you know, or the girlfriend or the boyfriend ditches you and you've got nothing. I mean, there's all sorts of things, or you get dumped for shoplifting. It could be anything. It can be absolutely anything. You've got to be positive. Because otherwise you can sit down and go, never saw that coming. Never saw that coming. And you can wallow in your own misery. But if you think positively, you can pull yourself out. Because I've said to friends of mine before who've lost their jobs, and they've said, I don't know what to do, Steve. And I've said, listen, you will get a job. You will get a job. Of course you will. You're good. Good people get jobs. You know, bone idle people, who gives a toss what happens to them? But if you're a good person, and I've said to a few of friends of mine recently, I've said, you will get a job. You'll look back on this period in your life and you'll go, oh, it was so crap. It was so crap. And I really felt at my... I mean, a friend of mine had just about to sign a mortgage, a big mortgage based on a contract that he had with a company that was employing him. And they decided to terminate. They didn't go through with the contract. He said it was the day before I was due to sign the contract for the mortgage on the property I'd bought. He said, thank God I didn't buy it. Can you imagine? You sign the mortgage, and then the following day, you're made redundant. And he was in a business that was very difficult to get jobs in. I mean, luckily now he has a job. And in fact, he sent me a thing the other day. And just sort of basically saying, you know, you said it would all come right, and it has all come right. You've just got to be positive. Got to be positive. It's very difficult. You know, we spoke to somebody the other day who said, oh, you know, I don't celebrate Christmas because it's going to be miserable because my husband died and blah, 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 blah. And I said, listen, everybody goes through that. You know, you might not feel like laughing or, you know, shouting or jumping up and down, but you have to put on an act. You have to act. It's where you know, that's where your acting abilities come in tenfold. You know, and just remember that at Christmas time, there's loads of other people who are going through exactly the same thing that you're going through. You know, if every time a disaster happened to me or anybody around me, we all sort of went sort of in and sort of went, oh, I can't do anything. You'd never do anything. But if you wake up every morning and you think positively and you think, do you know, sod it. I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm going to be positive. You know, I don't want everybody going around going, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about this or so sorry to hear about that. Yeah, sod off. Go do one. Think positively, because I promise you it gets better. And in years to come, might not be immediately, might not be within a month, 2 months, 10 months. Could be 2 years, but it does get better. Promise you. I've been there. Kelly Brook, making a vibrant appearance at Global Radio Studios in a chunky knitted cardigan. It's the sort of thing that that Corey would have picked up in the charity shops. He would wear that. And I would say to him, it's a woman's jumper. And he'd say, Steve, it doesn't matter. And I'd say, not on you, it doesn't. It really doesn't matter. And so, you know, it's... also, I'm not sure about the khaki green joggers. I don't know if he'd be wearing those. But he did have trousers the other day with elasticated bottoms. I shall say no more on the subject, because personally I'd not seen them since I was about 12. Things like that. Gordon Ramsay accused of breaking quarantine rules, flying to the UK from America to attend his son's Marine ceremony. They're all doing it. They're all blooming doing it. I mean, small wonder we're in terrible states, aren't we, really? But so his son's in the Marines. Good. Supernanny Joe Frost says, spiritually, I have millions of kids, because in real life she doesn't have any kids. She's been married since 2011. And she says, people assume I have kids. Why? Why? I don't know why people think that. Strictly Come Dancing will air on Christmas Day, but fans have to deal with another best of show due to COVID-19. Good. You know, they're far better, the best of shows. Far, far better. We like stuff like that. So let's have more of those. Rebecca Vardy, brushing her wag war aside. Oh, go away, you boring old bag. So bored with her, honestly. The woman who's so delusional, really. And so she joins Mylene Klass and Denise Van Outen. They'll be going, who is she? They go, she's Rebecca Vardy. Who's she? You know Rebecca Vardy. I don't know who she is. Who is she? Oh, she's some wag from a footballer or something. Oh, right. Is she desperate to be famous? Really desperate. Craig Revel Horwood says, people will be on edge, but that will spark up relationships. Because I don't know why you go on Strictly and you basically push yourself around a bit. It's because you're dancing with somebody a bit close, you know, hug them, pull them tight. And then they try and make them do all these, exotic dances, which, you know, sometimes a bit naff, really. Wales says it will ban people from COVID-19 hotspots in England travelling across the border from Friday. Looks like we could cancel I'm a Celebrity. Christmas markets in Manchester cancelled. They've decided they're not going to go ahead with them, which means that there'll be no turning on of the lights, there'll be no nothing. We don't have that at all. Sebastian Shakespeare said, old jokes add up to give Peter Kay a mega payday as the funny man rakes in £1 million during a year off work. And so he pocketed £1 million last year. The money kept rolling in. Philip Schofield pulled out of this morning filming and ran off set. Can't see Philip Schofield running off anywhere. Can you really? He's an old man now, for goodness sake. He's 50. He's coming up 60. You don't run when you're 60, I know. And he ran off set to be sick while struggling with his sexuality, but insists he would never have married if he knew he was gay. Really? So what age? So wait a minute. So even more bizarre. So you choose to get married, OK. He never would have got married if he knew he was gay. So was he having flings with men during the marriage? Because otherwise, did he wait till the marriage finished when he told Steph that he was gay? And then he went off and went, whoopee, and threw his earrings in the ashtray. How does it work? How does it work? Because if he says he never would have married her if he knew he was gay, so... Well, how do you know that you're gay? You don't just go, oh, I think I'm gay. Well, what does he think it entails? Holding hands and skipping through a field with a lollipop? You know, I don't understand it. So he never would have got married. So in other words, he gets married thinking he's straight or not thinking anything. And then magically, after two children down the line and a wife who adores him quite clearly, he then decides to announce to the world he's gay. Well, there must have been somebody that came into his life. I'm telling you for a fact. I'm telling you for a fact, you only decide to come out if all of a sudden it gets a bit on top of you. If you've fallen for somebody and you think, oh, this is really stressful because I really love this person, but I'm married to Steph. I have two daughters and all the rest of it. You know, you have to ask yourself the questions. I mean, the rumours about Philip Schofield go back donkey's years. Seriously, I heard about rumours about Philip Schofield when it never even crossed my mind when we were in Fleet Street. Seriously, I mean, it's that long ago. So perhaps people knew before he did. But has he, since he sort of announced, you know, has he had a fling with somebody? Has he fallen for somebody? Was it the relationship going nowhere? Was the person he was going out with another married person? Was it a single person? As I say, what sort of type is attracted to Philip Schofield? I mean, to be honest with you, he's 58 coming up 60. Mind you, I heard of a 90-year-old a short while ago who finally has come out as gay. He doesn't have a boyfriend or anything like that. He's just come out as gay because he's in his 90s and said he didn't want to die without sort of, you know, people knowing that he was gay. So, but remember, Philip's flogging a book. OK, that's what it comes down to. Perhaps he should have taken up with Holly. She would have been ideal. They would have been the perfect couple. Can you imagine? Perfect couple. Anyway, have a lovely day. Have a lovely, lovely day. And I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 4 for more Steve Allen's Early Breakfast. Until then, on behalf of all the team, stay safe.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, listen to Steve Allen Live from 4 a.m. Sunday to Friday on LBC.